Blue Jays back from a rough road trip. They get a wild 10-6 win. But Shai, that really isn't going to curb, I don't think, a lot of the speculation about John Gibbons' future. And I mean, to me, I think it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I've been on the record. I don't think firing John Gibbons or Pete Walker accomplishes squat right now. As a matter of fact, when I look at Roberto Osuna's, when I look at how he's broken into the major leagues, when I look at how Aaron Sanchez has been used, I would think the two areas of pitching where John Gibbons has the most control, the two areas of pitching where a manager could really screw up, i.e. working a young pitcher into a major league situation, I think those have gone pretty well. I don't know what John Gibbons or Pete Walker can do about R.A. Dickey, Mark Burley, or even Drew Hutchison for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, Alex Anthopoulos has kind of sent both of them into a gunfight with a knife, right? I mean, a lot of the pitching moves that John Gibbons makes, you kind of look at it and say, well, okay, I get that for the most part, but he doesn't have personnel options that really lend it to second guessing. You kind of say, well, was he going to do this? Well, that wouldn't work out. And I think a great example of that came on the road trip before this one, the one in Tampa, when they lost one game when, you know, John Gibbons tried to use the bullpen in a situational manner, and then he went to a straightforward kind of use of the bullpen and they blew another game. And it seemed like no matter what he does, he was damned if he didn't, damned if he did. And that was a little bit of what happened in Houston. You know, it's you leave a starter in there, and you know, R.A. Dickey had a pretty rough outing. They, you know, gave up the big home run to Jose Altuve, a three-run shot was the one that changed that one. And then, you know, the next day, you know, Estrada was right up at his pitch limit, and they didn't want to push him too far. And then he goes to the bullpen, and you know, three or four batters later, the lead disappeared, and they're facing a deficit. Jeff Francis and Liam Hendricks couldn't get it done that game. So, you know, I think it comes down to execution on the part of certain guys, and you saw that, you know, Jeff Francis didn't execute in that game. He was designated for assignment. You know, I would expect to see more moves like that before someone gets fired, because ultimately this is largely personnel-driven, not management-driven.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the point I was trying to make. And again, I had a conversation with Alex during the last homestand. I mean, and he said that. I mean, it wasn't even off the record. He just said, you know, before I would contemplate doing anything, I would feel obligated to make a move to address the starting pitching. You know, which I think is a I wouldn't say admission, because it wasn't said as an admission. It was said more as a statement, as a matter of fact. That you know, this is a flawed, and I'm going to use the word flawed because it's the only thing that comes to mind. But it's a flawed pitching staff right now. I mean, that's the only way to put it. It is a flawed pitching staff right now.
Well, it's a pitching staff that counted on a number of assumptions, and some of them may still come to fruition. You know, I mean, we are only mid-May, and we shouldn't say that, you know, six months. That being said, you know, Dickey and to a lesser extent Burley have a long way to go to get to their career norms. Drew Hutchison has a long way to go to take the step forward that was not only expected but really needed from him. And, you know, Aaron Sanchez still trying to figure things out. While Marco Estrada, you know, now legitimately should have the physical base beneath him to make a real assessment on where he's at. So if you don't get starting pitching, everything else isn't going to fall into line. The starting pitching hasn't been there. You know, the way that the starters have been prepared and all built up and all that stuff, that's under the guidelines that the front office has given, that is put together with the training staff. And it's a little bit unorthodox compared to what some of the other teams do. It isn't strictly based on pitch counts and innings limits. It's also based on monitoring where they are physically and things of that nature. So, you know, to say, oh, well, you know, firing Pete Walker, firing John Gibbons will fix all that, I don't think that is. Now, if you believe that a shakeup is needed and that a message has to be sent or whatever the case, then maybe that then at that point you take that route. But right now I don't know that I really need to see that. I think you see a lot of guys who are engaged and who care, who are just going through a really, really rough patch right now.
And, you know, I mean, I look at the way this team plays, and I don't see a team that's folded its tents. I certainly don't see that with Josh Donaldson or Russ Martin, or Jose Bautista for that matter. Look, if this team was disinterested, I really don't think Jose Bautista would be DHing his way through a shoulder injury. I mean, if things really stunk, if guys really gave up, I think you'd probably see Jose Bautista would have gone in the DL by now. And I just don't, all the things that I saw the last time John Gibbons was fired, I'm not seeing now. I mean, I'm not seeing guys like Alex Rios half-assing plays in the outfield. If anything, I'm seeing guys in the outfield, playing with abandon and playing hard. I'm not seeing guys mail it in. What I am seeing is some not very good starting pitching, but that's not, people have this idea that, well, if you change the manager or change the pitching coach, all of a sudden R.A. Dickey's knuckleball is going to get better. Newsflash, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. And Mark Burley's still going to be Mark Burley. By the way, it hasn't been bad in the last couple of starts. And Drew Hutchison, maybe a change of voice does something there. But as far as Aaron Sanchez goes, I mean, I'm getting, frankly, better than I thought I would get from Aaron Sanchez. And then I get into the bullpen, and I've got Roberto Osuna, 20-year-old kid, who in mid-May has been their most consistent reliever. And again, I get back to, what does a manager have the biggest impact on? Once the game starts, once the first pitch is thrown, well, yeah, he has to make sure that there's a lefty-righty matchup and all that good stuff. But by and large, it's a decision about pitching, and specifically the bullpen. And John Gibbons, I think, has done as about as good a job as you can in that regard.
Jeff, the thing is, we live in a magic bullet world, right? Everybody's looking for that one thing that's going to just fix the whole situation and make everything okay and stabilize things. And I don't think that's there for this team. Like, there's not one move. Like, if they went out and got Johnny Cueto, is all of a sudden this team going to be okay? Is that going to figure everything out for this team? Is that going to make the rest of the rotation better? I mean, sure, it'll be an improvement, but I don't know that it's a guarantee of anything. This isn't a one-move fix. They need a lot of internal improvements from all their different guys, which is possible because, the talent is there, but it has to happen. And they need to be better internally themselves before you can start saying, okay, well, we do this, everything's going to be okay. Like, this has to be a group effort in order for them to get better. And I don't know that... I don't think pitchers are tuning out Pete Walker or anything like that. I think Pete Walker is trying. I think, we've seen just a lot of times just poor execution on the mound. And that's just not, like the Jeff Francis on Saturday where he has Colby Rasmus 0-2. And you need to bury that slider in the dirt, and Colby Rasmus waves right over it because that's what Colby Rasmus does. And it's a slider right in the middle of the plate, and Colby Rasmus does with it what he should have done with it. And that opens up the inning. And it's kind of the same thing with Burley with Rasmus the other day. Threw him a fat first pitch changeup that was supposed to get out of the zone, and it didn't, and off it went. So when that lack of execution, I don't think you can blame the pitching coach for that. I mean, those things happen to a certain degree, and sometimes if it happens over and over, as it had of late for Jeff Francis, he had, I think, 3 or 4 rough outings in a row. I mean, it just says to you that the guy's not capable of getting it done. So, it would be great if you could just fire one or two people and all of a sudden everything would be okay. And if the atmosphere is completely poisoned, then that's certainly an answer. But guys are pissed off. They should be. They're not happy right now.
The only reason you fire John Gibbons or Pete Walker right now is to keep people happy. It's optics, I should say, to keep people happy, keep fans happy. It's optics. Maybe to keep some elements of the media happy. It's optics. You know what it is? It's, hey, I've done something.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's... I'm not going to sit here and say that it's entirely out of the question that, that a lousy homestand does in John Gibbons. I'm not going to say that because I don't know. We don't know the pressures that Paul Beeston is under. Quite frankly, I don't know who, you know, with the changeover at the top of Rogers Media with Keith Pelley. I mean, I don't know necessarily where, you know, where the pressure would come from or what nature the pressure would be. But, you know, I can tell you that my understanding, and I'm sure we're on the same wavelength here, my understanding is that Alex feels that he has got to at least make a pitching move, stabilize the pitching before he can really make a call on John Gibbons. It's that simple. And to that point, Shai, I wanted to ask you, Jeff Hoffman is going to take the mound, I believe, tomorrow?
Tomorrow's a single-A debut.
All right. We know that this organization is looking at young pitching differently than it has in the past. It's clearly not afraid to bring young pitching up. Best case scenario, and I'm knocking on wood here, Jeff Hoffman stays healthy, pitches the way Jeff Hoffman, the way we think he can pitch, remembering that this is a college guy and remembering that he's an advanced guy. How soon could he be up here?
It's a great question. I've wondered maybe if everything goes well, maybe August. But, I mean,
yep.
Everything would have to go right. But the stuff has just been is so good, and he's very advanced. The four pitches are good, and there's a maturity and a cockiness to him that could allow him to progress that quickly. I mean, is that the best thing for his development? We could debate that. But ultimately, it's going to be up to him. And if he's pitching well and he's completely dominating, then I think the Blue Jays will certainly bring him up because he's got the chance to be that internal difference maker that they had last year in Marcus Stroman. And he's, aside from Daniel Norris, who's still honing his craft and who will clearly see first, he's the only guy who can really kind of give this team a major shot in the arm from a pitching perspective.